Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
Hey, everybody, it's your girl, Cy Brown, and today is Thursday, November 13th, and you know what Thursday is. Today is the day for our weekly life study, hosted by our wonderful buddy, DeJuan Colleon from Atlanta, who always calls in and helps us out. Definitely check out his blog at ecclesiaatl.blogspot.com. It's ecclesiaatl.blogspot.com. And for those of you looking to kind of do better, if I can put it that way, and really understand what's going on in life and make sense of some of the things that may be going on around you, I definitely encourage you to check out his blog and join us every single Thursday. I just put this out on Twitter. It's definitely on Facebook and a whole bunch of other social networks. And I just want to say thank you very much for joining us every single week. We have a great show planned for you. And so without even delaying this even more, so we can make the most of all the moments we have together this Thursday, it is my absolute pleasure to bring in today's guest. B, are you with us?
Hey, what's going on, people?
Usually you say, yeah.
Okay, let's start over. Let's do it again.
Okay. Now, it's your girl, Cy Brown, and I'm getting ready to bring in our guest. D, are you with us?
Yeah.
That's what I was waiting for. We're just having a lot of fun right here at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, weekdays on Life Remix Radio. Before we get into today's life study, I have to share with everybody, I was just interviewed by Family Circle Magazine. How cool is that? And right when we finished the interview, she said, Saida, you know, send over a picture. I don't know if you guys all know, but Family Circle has a following of like 4 million people. And I owed my entire success to God and just following what God wants for my life. So I don't know how many readers they have. I know it's over probably a few million, but I have to share, especially during this particular show, how good God is when we're obedient and we follow what He wants for our life as opposed to what we want. And I'm sure we're going to get into that a little bit during today's show. So, Dee, I want you to just start off today's show, and let's get rolling. And I got my Bible.
Hey, you're in the spirit today, because we are going to actually read some passages out of the Bible today. What I would like to do is first
talk up just
thank
a little
everybody.
Bit,
I said what I'd like to do is thank everybody for tuning in today. Today's topic, we're going to talk about the prayer life, the life in quotations. The meaning and the reason for this is because, you know, right now, you know, modern society, modern world, culture, the way that we have it, we're always taught and pushed to always be on the grind, to always be doing something, always have like four or five and six things going on, multitasking, being online, watching TV, listening to the radio, and sending text messages all simultaneously. Everything is about 12 and 14 and 16-hour days. But in the reality of all of this, what we as Christians have learned or need to go back and relearn is that prayer is something that we can't, like, decide to do whenever we feel inspired. I think that's been the misconception, is that prayer is optional. I mean, we wouldn't get up and go through a whole day of being on the grind without eating or drinking, and then now we've tried to institute exercise into our regimen. But, you know, whenever we feel like we need a breakthrough or we need a need or we become inspired and notice or recognize God, then, you know, we want to feel like we need to pray. But in reality, prayer is something that we have to it's something we're supposed to do without ceasing. It's something that we need to institute into our life continually. So before I get into it, I guess what I would like to do is let you actually kind of recap some of the things that's happened with you going back and forth, I guess, over your life over the last year, some of the things you were talking about in our conversation. Because I think it's pretty important, because I think we do a lot on our own, and we kind of forget that God is sovereign and is in control, and then when everything falls apart or messes up, then we want to try to pray and get God's direction. Or on the flip side, we may have success, and we may attain everything we want and get, and then we want to, and then we're still not happy, so then we want to pray then. But I think what we're finding is something that we need to start off our direction, our life, our career direction, our daily direction, with prayer. So I'm going to take a break and let you do your recap, and then we'll jump off into it.
All right. I'm going to give the Cliff Notes version, so we're not here until next Thursday. But it kind of started about 2.5 years ago when, you know, when I got out of hip-hop, I just said, okay, I want to totally live for the Lord. I'm sold out for the Lord. God is good. Amen. And then I realized that wasn't what he wanted for my life. And then I got angry. I'm like, you know what? I thought this is what God wanted. This is not what I like. This sucks. I have no friends. Da, 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 da. So I said, I'm going to do what I want to do. And, you know, it wasn't that I blatantly said I'm going to be disobedient. I just started gently doing what I wanted to do. And you and I met about a year ago, and we were going to work on some things together, and I just could not seem to pull it together. And it's hurtful, embarrassing, and very cathartic to look back now and say, Saida, what the heck were you thinking? But I was a day late and a dollar short every single time and couldn't figure out why. I'm like, but I'm doing the right thing. I'm praying. But basically, I went, you know, because I wanted to be this big media executive and rented this incredibly expensive office right across the street from Madison Square Garden. So, and I was on the 36th floor, so I saw the Hudson River and the boats, and we had the skyline, and I made it. You know, my family's coming up to my office. I'm bawling. But I was not walking in alignment with what God really wanted. And so what I did was, instead of get on my face and pray, I just scaled down. So I said, okay, I'll move to a smaller space, but I'm still doing what Cy wants to do. Now, instead of looking at the Hudson River, I'm looking at Times Square. And it just snowballed. Like, in order to be successful, you have to start from the right place. If the right place is 2 steps to the right and you're starting off 2 steps to the left, you're already starting behind the ball. Your premise, the point in which you're starting from, is already off. And after blowing through more money than I could even, I probably spent a nice luxury car payment on figuring on this whole fiasco of walking out of alignment with God. Finally, you know, I've told you guys a million times, I moved, I scaled back, I rethought a lot of things, hence Life Remixed. And I finally now am too afraid, and I say afraid loosely because I don't want us to walk in obedience with God because we're walking in fear. We're supposed to walk in love and all that. But now I'm saying I don't want to do anything that God doesn't want me to do. I swear. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to. If it's not what God wants for me, I don't want to do it, because I've seen how being on the other end of that wrath feels. And the funny thing, and I think this is how we can really segue into today's show, God has been trying to direct me for about the past year, but I could not pick up the signals because I was too busy doing what Saida wanted to do. And because I couldn't pick up the signals, and because I was too busy doing what Saida wanted to do, where does that take you but further and further and further out of alignment with God? And so here we are, November 13th, a Thursday, at 12:10 p.m., and I have a lot to say, and I am proud. I really changed my life when I started this show, which was in July, and since July, I've been in the Daily News twice. I've been in Redbook. I just got interviewed for Family Circle magazine. I have a very successful blog. I've got a very successful radio show. And I couldn't be happier. And I think once we rethink and reassess what God's will for our life is, it just makes life so much easier to live. And so that's where we're at right now. So when Dee agreed to come on and do our weekly life study, I just was like, come on, this is a good thing, come on. And so here we are.
And so basically, I'm sure your story is like a lot of our stories. Thus, now we are looking at how we can remix our life. And one of the ingredients we definitely have to institute in this remix is prayer. And when you think of prayer, there's a lot of misconceptions about prayer. I mean, we think of prayer in the context of an institutionalized command or something that's done only in a synagogue or a temple or your church or your cathedral in a group setting. But when you really go back and look at it and study it, basically the word prayer comes from the Hebrew word tefillah, well, it's T-E-F-I-L-L-A-H, and it basically comes from, it means to judge oneself. When you come into prayer, it's more of a introspective look at yourself, how you live and how you're governing yourself before you really start dialoguing with God. Because the reality is, you know, He already knows what we have need of before we ask. He already is ordained everything, and He's laid things out. But what prayer does is bring you into a position to recognize His sovereignty and His lordship in our situation. I mean, in so many times in the church setting, we say, you know, we're going to bless God in prayer. But when you actually look at the word, it was kind of, it hasn't been translated correctly. It's not that we as the creation can bless the Creator. But what it actually means in Hebrew is that we are to recognize that God is the blessing. So when we go to in prayer, we recognize that He's the one that gives all the blessings and that we are, submit ourselves to that. I know a lot of people, and even Fyetta Brown and myself, have experienced going through periods where we find ourselves waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:30 in the morning, and we're thinking, what's going on with this? Something strange going on, something about to happen. But that is one of the most powerful times that you can actually dialogue and be introspective with God and communicate, you know, and get direction from Him for your day. The Hebrew, the way they lay out their days, they lay them out, you know, in watches. The days are laid out. It starts in the evening, and then it goes on to the next day. And at 3 a.m. is like the fourth watch of the evening or the nighttime period. It goes from like 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. is the fourth watch, and then the third watch is from 3 a.m. back to 12 a.m., and then from 12 back to 9 is the second. And each one of these watches are significant in time. I know we talked about time on this show, and most people, when they think about time, they think of it in a linear sense, from point A to B in a straight line. But biblically and from the Hebrew perspective, God's perspective, time is not linear. It's more of a cyclical. It's more of a cycle, similar to a spiral-like circle because, you know, in Ecclesiastes, it says there's a time for everything. God set up everything on a cycle, on seasons. You know, things repeat themselves. You know, in the world, we kind of say we had a deja vu moment. But the way God created everything, He set it up with a cycle. You have 7 days, and then they come back and repeat themselves. You have 4 seasons, and they come back and repeat themselves. You look outside, and the trees have leaves, and they don't have leaves, and they have leaves again. It's a cycle. Everything. So time is not a linear experience. It's more of a cycle. And when you understand that, there are certain things that happen at certain times, and there are certain times that, you know, that we are to approach God, and there's significance in the hours of the day. So as we were talking about the fourth watch or mm-hmm. early in the morning prayer from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. The significance of that, there have been several events that happened in the Bible during that time period. Jacob wrestled with God in Genesis 32 during this time period from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. It's in Exodus, Moses led the children of Israel across the Red Sea in Exodus 14 during the same 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. time period. When Gideon had to look at his men and reduce his men down from 3,000 to 300 men and go into war and defeat the Midianites in Judges chapter 7, this was during the same 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. time period. When the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water, it was during the same time period in Matthew chapter 14. And then one of the biggest events, this most important event to us as Christians, is that Christ resurrected from the dead in Matthew 28 between the same time period from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Because if you remember that this Peter and Mary, they came before the dawn to see if he was in the tomb. Of course, he wasn't there. So
right.
as somebody that's studying this, trying to understand why God is waking us up at 3 o'clock to pray, you see there's a significance in this hour. And then I guess in this time frame, and when you put it into a broader perspective, and this could take like four or five shows to talk about this, but when you think about it, you know, we live in a natural world, but there's a spiritual world, a world going on. There's different things going on, you know, spiritual, angels, demons, all these different things, all type of activity is going on. And then, you know, one of my best friends is a police officer, and statistically it's proven that most of your crimes are committed from 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. because not only does it statistically happen that way, but that's the time when most of your evil or demonic type activity is happening during the 12 to 3 a.m. That's why most parents, they don't even know why. They just tell their kids they need to come home by 12 because it just seems like it just seems like stuff jumps off between 12 and 3.
I said that to you. I was like, I told my son, you need to be in his house before 12 o'clock. And I'm not trying to put him out, you know, to make an example of him, but that's a constant. He's like, Mom, you know, I get off of work, and by the time I, you know, and it's a story. And I never knew why, like, just be in the house by 12. Like, just, and even when I started waking up in the middle of the night, the first thing I would do is check on my kids. Like, because I could not figure out why out of nowhere I keep waking up at 3:30 in the morning or very close to it. And it's been like this for me for almost a year, and it was very, very frustrating. Like, why do I keep waking up? And I remember we have a young lady named Tiffany who usually listens to the show. Her mom talked to me. She said, Sai, when you get up at that time, just pray the 23rd Psalm or the Lord's Prayer or some other comforting prayer and ask God for direction. And I told you this, Dee, I was like, I am not getting out of the bed. So when I felt like I was really being disobedient, I would roll over, say the Lord's Prayer, and go back to sleep. So I thought, okay, I'm doing what I was, but that's still not enough. And then on Monday, and I wrote about it on my blog, when I woke up Monday, it was 3:30 on the dot, not 3:16, 3:42, because I get awakened between 3:16 in the morning and like 3:37. So that little 20-minute window. But when I woke up and it was exactly 3:30, I said, okay, that's enough. I'm getting out of the bed right now, and I'm just going to make something up as I go. I thought it was more important for me to physically get out of the bed and go into another room and pray than me just praying right there, laying in the bed, and drift off back to sleep. But I still didn't know why.
Well, now you know. And it's like they said on G.I. Joe, no one's half the battle.
You're so silly. But isn't that what happened in the book of Samuel? And I knew this story before this even happened. See, this is why I think we have to practice just as believers to read the Bible more often than just reading it. Because I remember in the book of Samuel, I believe 1 Samuel, I think it is, where he kept saying, I don't know who he was talking to, I can't remember that part, but he kept hearing his name, and he kept getting up, and nobody was calling him, and he would go back to sleep. I'll tell you something really weird, and I want you to jump back into the Bible study, but one morning I remembered I had to get up at like 4:30 in the morning to do something, just to get some work done before the day started. At or very close to 4:30, this is true, I swear it is, I heard thunder and lightning. Oh, no, I heard thunder so strong, it was like a train was plowing into my house. I'm like, what in the world? And the thunder, and when I got up, it stopped. And I put my head back down on the pillow, and I was like, okay, let me see what time it is. And it was at the exact moment that I said in my brain I needed to get up that next morning. I don't know if I'm the only one who heard it, because my husband never flinched. He didn't budge, didn't move, nothing. It was like that was my alarm clock. Does that make sense?
Well, I don't want to be all deep and spooky and scary and stuff like that. But in the Bible it says God's voice is like many thunders. And I've even,
oh my God,
you know, yeah, years ago, a similar experience happened to me around the same time where I just heard all these thunders and lightnings and stuff. And at the time, I didn't even know what it was about. And now I kind of understand it. And to get back into the whole idea of this time frame, if you flip it and look on the other side, for anybody that's familiar with the occult, they place a lot of significance on activity at things happening between 12 and 3 o'clock. But also, when you look at movies, which come from these scary movies that come from all these occult practices, it's always that the evil has to stop and get back to whatever they were before daylight comes out, because it's like their powers don't exist anymore. And that's just not movies. That's a spiritual a principle. I mean, I know we had discussed and read how, you know, there was an ex-witch or somebody who had practiced witchcraft, and she used to do all this crazy stuff. But they always knew when they were doing all these out-of-body experiences and stuff like that, they had to come back before dawn, whatever they were doing. So when you look in the context of between 3 and 6, biblically and Hebrew scholars and different people believe that that is the time where there's the least amount of resistance. Because in the Bible it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities in high places in the spirit realm. So between 3 and 6 is the time when you have the least amount of resistance. Because we know the devil goes around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour or destroy. And he tries to prevent or block people's prayers from going forth, because there's a story, I believe it was Daniel, that prayed, and he kept praying, and then finally an angel showed up and said, yeah, we got your prayer, but it was held up in the heavenlies for like 3 days before they finally it got through. So I guess one of the reasons when God tries to urge us to pray at that time in the morning, whatever it is going on in our life, he knows that we need to communicate with him to get that request out during that particular time period. And it's just that we may not have known, but it's all biblically supported. So as we go back in here and look at just the whole concept of prayer, like I said before, I know we're very busy and we have a lot going on, and we think that we have to do this 2 and 3 hour prayer, and it's all about, you know, as some people say, crying out on the floor and building an altar in your house, all that type of stuff. But that's not really what it's about. If you have your Bible, and you can turn to Matthew chapter 6.
Hold on one second. Let me. You said Matthew chapter 6?
Yes.
Okay, hold on one second. Oh, hold on, I have a caller. D, I have a caller. Hold on.
Okay.
Caller from 775, this is Saida. You're joining us for our weekly life study.
Good morning, my dear child. How are you?
Hi, Mama Smokey. This is Piss Mom, everybody. We were just talking about you.
Oh, that's so funny.
I was just talking because now I finally get up at 3:30. Anyway, how can I help you today?
I want to acknowledge and honor the young man that you have on your show, and to tell him that he is such an enlightened spirit and that God has worked so many miracles in his life, and you have touched so many people that a lot of times you're overwhelmed with what you think you aren't accomplishing, but you are accomplishing all that God wants you to, and you're definitely, definitely on the right track. That I want to say to you first. I honor you, and I honor being in your presence. I wanted to say about the voice, and the voice, like he was saying about thunderous, and that voice. I was looking for my foundation. I was on a quest to find my spirituality, where I belonged, what church. I mean, and I went to every church that you could possibly think of. And one night I was reading the Bible, and my ex-husband was like questioning, why are you reading the Bible? But he wouldn't question if I was reading Jet or the Ebony or the TV. That'd be like, cool, you know, that's cool. But the Bible, I mean, I literally had to hide under the covers with a flashlight to read the Bible so that he wouldn't, you know, question what I was doing. But so one night he wasn't working, and one night I was like in between sleep. And this voice, and I tell this story to so many people because it's so amazing to me, but this voice was like thunder. I mean, like, I can't even describe the power that was in this voice, but yet it was as gentle as holding a feather in your hand. And the voice said to me, my beloved child, and I went, uh-oh, who's that? I don't know no beloved child. You know, who's saying that to me? And so it went on to say, I have many things for you to do, but you need to find your home first, and you need to clean your temple. And that was another word that was like, ooh, wait a minute, I don't know temple. And I had been asking to quit smoking for a long time, so I'm like, okay, well, maybe that's the temple is my body. He's telling me I got to clean that smoke out. But to make a long story short, because I don't want to monopolize the show, but it was like, I asked him about a job for my husband because he was out sweeping the streets. He was, like, driving me nuts. So I'm like, God, please tell me something. Hey, is he going to get a job? And that was on a Monday. On a Friday, I called home, and my husband was so excited. He's like, you're never going to believe I got a job. I start on Monday. I hung up the phone. I was a file clerk at the time. I went into the file room. I got down on my knees, and I said, Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. But he does talk to us. And people, you know, sometimes they'll say, well, you know, yeah, God talked to me. And you're like, yeah, yeah, right, you're whacked, you know. But mm-hmm. God does talk. And we are all just as important as that sparrow is out there. We're just that important. And he does have conversations, and all we have to do is listen. So with that, that was my experience with God's voice. So I know the temple, beloved. And now I see beloved all the time, and I'm like, woo, okay, he's really talking, you know?
Yeah, it's, and I said at the top of the show that I couldn't figure this whole thing out. And Dewan and I have had conversations just over the course of last year because we're trying to learn it. And Dee, please feel free to jump in. I felt that I was almost being disrespectful by not going to church. I have not attended a real, quote-unquote, real church Sunday morning service since August of 2007. But I feel I'm closer to God now than I ever was any time attending regular church service because now I have nothing to rely on but my relationship with God. I can't use church as a crutch.
I firmly agree with you. I go to church, though, but I feel like it's all an individual. It's all within the individual need. And if you need that support, you need that building, you need that structure, then by all means, go. But if you've got that connection with God, you can sit in that closet. You can sit in the bathtub and have your own church. God, there is, and that's just my most favorite saying, there is no spot where God is not. You know, so it's the truth. I mean, I used to work in a casino, and people would sit there going, and somebody would say, please, God, and they're like, God's not here, and I just look at him. You know what? You're here, God's here. You know, we're all in this. We're everywhere. Where we are, he is, you know, and like your prayer, that encompasses all of us. So for us to lose faith or quote-unquote, we don't have the sanctity or the structure of church, I'm a firm believer in God's in your heart. So you do what makes you feel right, what resonates to your soul.
D said that he sent a message out. Remember, D, you said what? I think something about the church, and I'm going to worship fellowship at Starbucks. How did that go?
Well, the thing is, the Bible says that's why Christ decreed where two or more gather, I am in the midst. So even if there was nobody else on the phone, there's two of us on the phone, that is quote-unquote church. And actually, Acts 7:48, he says he doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, that he now dwells in us because our body is now the temple. He has moved his presence from the old tabernacle into these earthen tabernacles. So that's why it's important for everybody. That's why he says that you must, you know, live holy, because he is holy and I'm going to be dwelling in you, in your body. He said, you know, don't no longer tell people to know the Lord, because that's what preachers in buildings used to do. But he said, I will now write my laws upon their hearts. I will now dwell in them. So it's a different paradigm shift. It's like throughout the world, you know, Obama's whole thing was about change. But when you study prayer and the root word of prayer and blessings, actually the word change comes up out of that, because you're supposed to be able to renew your mind and change how you view yourself and move. And the whole concept of church being a physical building, that's cool, but at the same time, ultimately it is a one-on-one relationship that God allowed, that he sent his son to die on the cross so that he could move from the cross into our hearts. Because that's why the 82-foot-tall veil that was in the temple was torn from top to bottom, so that it was a sign to show people, I'm no longer keeping you all out of a personal relationship with me. You can have a personal relationship with me, and I've made it appropriated through my son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, Mashiach, so that when you come through him, you come through the gate, that you will be able to be in this relationship position. So to go back into prayer, if you found Matthew chapter 6 yet?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I did.
Okay, read verse 5 all the way down until I tell you to stop.
Okay, Matthew 6, 5. Okay. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth. They have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray for your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father
right,
will also...
Right there.
Oh, I'm reading from the NIV version, everybody, too, New International Version. So just so you
now,
know what version.
Now let's look at that. That was Christ that was speaking and giving us what prayer is. And you got to understand the context of Christ. Here's a person who is God in the flesh. When you study him, he didn't do anything he wanted to do. A lot of people in a lot of these prosperity circles, they just teach you to just pray whatever you want, say whatever you want, make it happen. You've heard, you know, even Governor Palin talk about she's just going to just go through any open door. If she see a crack, she's just going to plow through it. But you got to understand that's not how you come to God. Christ, who could do everything, he still, before he did anything, always said, I only do what God tells me to do. I submit myself to the will of God. I'm just not going to just do anything. Even when the devil tried to tempt him and say, turn these stones into bread, he said, you know, you don't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So the whole point when he says, people look at the Lord's Prayer as elementary, but when you study it, you see Our Father which art in heaven, the whole context of it is about introspection, is soul searching. You're looking at yourself. You're saying, hey, I'm going to forgive others because I know I didn't mess up today. so that my sins can be forgiven. Give me my daily bread, because God tells us not to worry about these things. So the whole Lord's Prayer gives us a blueprint of the foundation of how we dialogue with God. It's not that this is all you say, but it gives you a way to how you're supposed to approach Him, because it's not about always doing everything we want to do. We all have experience in life that some of the things that we want, some of the things that we want to do is not necessarily the best thing for us. So that's why Christ set the example and said, let your will on earth be done as it is in heaven. Because, hey, I don't know what's the best move for me. Because I know we've all been in a situation when you may have an opportunity to choose between three jobs, and they all jobs look great, and they all have similar benefits. Well, how do you know which job will still be in business next year or 6 months from now, or if, you know, if something or they're going to close down? So how would you know unless you sought God first? You know, the whole thing about prayer is not necessarily, as he said, vain repetitions and praying all day and all that type of stuff. But it's about, before you do something, seeking the will of God, not your will, but his will, to see what is going to be done. Because he always knows the best for you before it happens, so that, you know, you will be in a better position. I'm sure we all have stories of something where we chose to follow God and his direction, and we look back and be like, man, I'm glad I went with that, because I didn't know if I'd have went with the other thing that I wanted to do, it wasn't going to jump off right, and I'd have been in a messed up situation. But on the flip side, we look at other situations where we prayed and we just decided to just run through and plow through the open door without really considering or thinking before we went, or praying and pausing, because that's the whole point of a prayer, is to pause. Whether you pause for 5 seconds or 5 minutes, you pause and acknowledge God in the situation before you go forward, and then he will manifest his will to you. So if you have opportunity, I wanted to show you another story in Genesis 18. You can turn there, and it basically gives a story about Abraham. And this is God describe Abraham as his friend. And the way when you look at Abraham, it gives you a good idea of how prayer is, because prayer is dialogue back and forth between God and man. And the way God talked to Abraham gives you an idea of just how we're supposed to be able to get to a point to where we're able to communicate with God in a similar fashion. If you go to, like, Genesis 18.
I'm and, there now.
If you,
I'm on Genesis 18 now.
If you, I'll kind of sum up the first part, because I want you to read verse 16 through 21. But basically, in the first part of it, it's basically about Abraham. He had just got through following. God had separated him from his people and told him to circumcise himself. Now, Abraham was a grown man, but he respected God. He feared God. He acknowledged God in all his ways. So he circumcised himself and all his people according to God's command. So in Genesis 18, the Lord appears to him and two visitors. And the first thing Abraham does is get up and run to go meet him. Now, you all know, if you're a man, you're a grown man, and you've been circumcised, I think that's going to be kind of difficult to do. But he did that. And not only did he go see what the Lord wanted, he asked to wash their feet. He went and he ran back to his tent, got them bread. He implored them to come sit with him. He forgot about his pain and his earthly problems when he acknowledged the presence of God. And so, to me, that sets the precedence right there. Is prayer is a type of dialogue. When we come into dialogue and talk with God, we have to be able to ignore the obvious natural pain that we may be in, or the circumstances we may be in order to acknowledge God in the situation. So as you continue to look at the story, you know, God, that's because he did that, then God stopped and talked to him and said, well, you know, your wife is going to have a child. And, you know, his wife was 90 years old. and the story was told, and she didn't believe it, he didn't believe it, but you have to go back. What if Abraham would have been in so much pain and he didn't have time to acknowledge God that day because of the pain he was in, the circumstances, the mortgage, his foreclosures, his credit cards, all stuff. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to acknowledge God right now. He never would have gotten the revelation or the blessing from God that, you know, they were going to be blessed with a child. So God tells them that, and they dialogue about that. Then further, is Syeda Brown is about to read what happened in verse 16 after, you know, they have the dialogue about the child.
All right. So hold on 1 second. Before we go, I see a caller from 615. Caller from 615, are you just listening or you have a question or a comment?
I was listening.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate all of the listeners that do listen. Let me just read something real quick. There's a lot of activity in the chat room, Dee, before I just get into that. Oh, God. We have a lot of people in the chat room who are for church, for or not, or not, you know, not necessarily churchgoers. Annie says, me neither, Si. She hasn't been to church in years. She spoke briefly about being church hurt, and I heard Pastor Montan McDonald say that as well, because I was on his show, and I was saying, you know, I felt the same way. You know, the churches don't necessarily, and this is me with a broad stroke, so please don't think I'm talking about all church, you know, churches. This is just me making a generic statement that I need to know why I can't cuss my kids out. I need to understand why I can't do that. Like, I need practical application of getting me through every single day. But anyway, True says, that's why I kept on searching until the Lord led me to Adventism. And it says, however, I still feel like I'm a student and growing as a person. I still maintain an open mind. Miss Smokey, Mama Smokey said, you have to find what stirs your spirit. And I put, what is Adventism? I hope I'm saying it correctly. And True and Mama Smokey put Seventh-day Adventist. And I've heard of it, but I don't know what it is, so I asked for a link to the website. I thanked Tiff's mom, Mama Smokey, for calling in, which is my name for her, her unofficial name. And she says she is now a religious science member. And that's kind of what Hillside is. It's not exactly where I read the Daily Thoughts from. And she says Ernst Holmes is the founder. And I used to be AME, and I'll say it publicly, African Methodist Episcopal, which is, I think, like the step cousin or something of Catholicism, very structured, very about decorum, very poised worship. So that's what AME is. Mama Smokey said, no problem, we just do a lot of positive affirmations, and yes, we do believe in one God. And I do as well. Nova said that he had to go support another show. Thanks, you know, for having this show. And I thanked him for joining us in the chat room today. And that's it. So that was that. So now I'm going to read. I just wanted to let everybody know some of the stuff that's going on. I'm not reading every single post, but just so you guys get the gist. So, Dee, I'm reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 18, starting at verse 16.
Yeah.
Okay. I love when you say that. All right. When the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham? What am I about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. Then the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sins so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know.
Okay, but what happens here, if you notice, we're still talking about conversation with God, dialogue, prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it started off first, Abraham, in his obvious natural pain, acknowledged God in all his ways, and it led from him worshiping God by, acknowledging his presence to God, revealing his will to his wife and him about them having a child. So now God says, am I going to hide what else I'm doing? No, I'll go ahead and tell him. See, that's, a lot of things that happen to us doesn't necessarily have to happen to us. We spend so much time on the grind trying to be busy. Imagine if we would just spend 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes in prayer, and God would tell us what's going to jump off today, next week, or what have you, and then you don't have to worry about spending that other time doing whatever you was going to do. You could put your time or your energy to be more effective in things that are going to be fruitful instead of trying to be everywhere and all over the place. So then God tells Abraham what he is going to do. In this particular case, he was going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah for a lot of the different things they were doing. And down in verse 22 through 27, Abraham, he doesn't ask for his will to be done, but he humbly submits himself to God, and he says, and I'm reading, what type of version is this? I believe this is the English Standard Version. And he asked God, he said, God, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you not spare the city if 50 are in there? And, of course, God was like, nope, I won't do it. And then Abraham said, well, what about 45?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no, I won't do it. And then he kept going all the way down and, and kept asking him, not demanding him, not declaring different things, but, respecting who God was, but earnestly asking him, what his will was going to be on earth as it is in heaven in this particular situation. And finally they got all the way down to 10 people. And he said, if there's 10 righteous people in there, I won't destroy the place. Because Abraham was thinking about his cousin that was actually lived there, and he was trying to make sure they would be spared.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole story to me shows, and if you partner that with the passage from Matthew 6, an idea of how we talk on the phone, how we regular conversate, that is basically what prayer is about, and talking with God and being honest and having honest dialogue so that he can reveal his will to you so that you can govern yourself accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
and live a more fruitful life. I know there's all type of tapes and videotapes and DVDs and MP3s and podcasts, and everybody's telling you how to live the greatest life now, how you can be all you can be within yourself. But, in 36 years, I don't trust myself that much when it comes to that, because I've made enough mistakes to know. I would rather get the insight in the direction, as the Bible says, Lord, order my steps, direct my path, so that I can be prosperous in the things that you will me to do, instead of me just running out here doing everything I think I can do with some success here and failure over there. Wouldn't it behoove you to be able to just pause and find out what the direction is? If you go further along to the story in Genesis 19, when the destruction was about to come, and when they got to Lot, they were telling Lot, hey, you need to leave this town. You need to get out of here. We're about to destroy the place. And they told him, we want you to escape all the way to the hills. Don't stop. Don't look back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was like, well, I'm not going to make it to the hills. Let me go over here to this city and stay there. And this is where a lot of Christians mess up. God specifically told him, go to the hills. If God told you to go to the hills, wouldn't you not think you would make it to the hills? But he said, no, I won't make it. So it's like he some type of way thought his own self could supersede the will of God, even though God is specifically telling him to do this. So then God says, okay, cool. He says, all right, you want to go over to the city? Okay, go over to the city, and we will not destroy this city. So
mm-hmm.
Lot goes to the city, but he doesn't stay there. He gets afraid. He says he gets afraid to stay there because he saw the destruction going on. So then he goes to the hills. So, but the problem was, as we go back to time, he went at the wrong time. So then after he decides, now I want to be obedient and I'm going to go to the hills, even though God told him, you could stay in the city because I'm not going to destroy the city, he had doubt. And the Bible says you can't pray and come to God with doubt, not believing or knowing he that you're praying to. So when he goes up into the, finally decides to go to the hills, his daughters freak out because there's nobody else there, nobody lives up there, and there's a whole episode where, you know, they sleep with him because they feel like they're not going to meet any men up there and they're not going to be able to carry on their father's name, and they create a whole situation. And so many times in life, because we don't have faith and we don't believe and we don't trust in the direction or the instructions of God, we go create a whole nother situation out of our doubt and unbelief, and then we have to come back and pray again and get direction. And God is like, I already gave you direction already. I already told you the right things to do. You still have to have the faith to believe what he's telling you and then be able to act on that. So, I mean, we may have to do a part two of this because
I welcome the opportunity. Let me just read you some of the stuff that's going on in the chat room. Hyrode said, I'm feeling like the world is mine for the taking, Miss Smokey. I prayed for you. And she said, you made my day. oh, God. And then she put, it's all the God presence that is within us all. I have to say, how much time do I have left? I don't even have the screen open with my switchboard. Doggone it. I can't even see. Oh, my God, I'm down to 7 minutes. But anyway, I was very apprehensive about doing any type of religion on this show, or really necessarily spirituality. I'm like, people don't want that. They want to hear fun and upbeat. But again, that's me doing what Psy wants to do. And it seems, and everybody's here with me, that every day it's leaning more and more and more towards the God presence in all of us, and how do we manifest that in our lives so we can walk in alignment with God's will for our life. I just got hit up in the chat room, 7 minutes. Okay, thank you. I got a lot of comments. Dee, oh, I want to say something to everybody too. Can you please, Dee, give us a public email address for you. I'm going to put it in the chat room.
Okay, you can email me at DJUAN. Well, now I'll give you an easy, because I'm trying to give you an easy one. The email, we'll go with that one. DJUANCSmith@yahoo.com.
Okay, that's the one that I was actually going to put, but I wanted to make sure. DJUANCSmith@yahoo.com. If everybody can please just shoot Dewan an email, because we kind of chit-chat about the show before we, you know, obviously before we come before you, and we always talk after just to see how the show went, did we get the message across, and he always says, well, Psy, I don't know what people thought. Did they like it? Did they understand it? So if everybody could be so kind as to email him when you get a chance, just to let him know and to edify him and keep him encouraged, because he kind of comes on every Thursday and does this, and, you know, just, I'm being forward. He didn't even ask me to do this, but I'm saying let him know if this is resonating in your life. And now I'm going to put his blog, www.ekklesiatl.blogspot.com. So it's ecclesiaatl.blogspot.com. So if you want to follow his writings in between him joining us every Thursday, which is an honor and a privilege, or shoot him an email. It's DewanCSmith@yahoo.com.
Also,
we're down to 4 minutes, so you give your final thoughts.
Also, based on a lot of the activities that was in the chat room, there's specific blogs on that ecclesia.blogspot.com that deals with the church and the concept of church. One of them specifically is one that I wrote called God is in You, Not in Buildings. And you can check that out at ecclesiaatl.blogspot.com. And it kind of goes into detail about the temple and yourself and your relationship with God, and how that new paradigm is that's been set up through the cross.
Well, we're down to 3 minutes of the show. I want to thank everybody, especially my mom, my mama Smokey on the West Coast, for calling in and bringing some clarity to this whole thing of me waking up at 3:30 in the morning. And I guess I was kind of leaning this way anyway. You know, when you ask God to come into your life, you don't know what you're going to get. I know I didn't, and I just said, okay, God, I need you in my life. And I'm thinking, okay, God's going to come into my life and just, you know, I'm going to keep living. You don't know what you're going to get when you open that door and ask God into your life. So just make sure you stay prayed up. And that's one of the things I used to tell all my young people. When you pray, all that is you communicating with God. And when you get insight, wisdom, and instructions, that's God talking right back to you. So do you have any final thoughts, my brother, before we wrap up today's show?
Yeah, you go ahead and do our wrap-up prayer.
Huh?
I said you can go ahead and do the wrap-up prayer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I love when you say that. Everybody, don't mind me. I'm just being really, really silly. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for tuning in to our weekly life study right here on Life Remixed Radio. You are listening to DeJuan Smith, well, DeJuan Colleone, who joins us every single Thursday right here at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time for Life Remixed Radio, and we do our weekly study. So bring your Bibles, bring your questions, and this is a great, safe, and open place to explore life and how you fit in it. Tomorrow I have a great show planned for you, so it's you know, tune in tomorrow at 12 noon. Thank you all for listening. And just to let you know, D, Dropping Seed Radio, who's Pastor Montan McDonald, said he just sent you an email. And Mama Smokey said, I love his voice. Me too. It makes an old lady smile. That's too funny. He's a silly guy. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for sharing your hour with me today. I don't take it lightly, and I definitely appreciate it, because there's a million other places that you can be, and you decided to hang out with me today. To True, it says, okay, Cy, I sent the information. I will check my email as soon as I get off the air. And always remember, everybody, that the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, the presence of God watches over us. Wherever I am, God is. Wherever you are, God is. Thanks, God, and so it is. And I'll see everybody tomorrow at 12 noon. Peace.